August 12th. We're ready to start our regular scheduled assembly meeting. So, with that, Tina, you want to call a roll?
Nate, here. Paul?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda?
Brenda's not here yet.
Dulcie? Carol?
Here.
Chris is absent. Warren?
Here.
Warren?
Here.
Kaylee? Samantha? Well, Samantha at another conference. Tom?
We don't have a quorum. So, did we go into so
wait a minute.
Yeah. Tina, sure. This is Annie. Do you have Denise, Paul, and Carol in your office?
Yes, I do.
And Warren's on the line. There's four of them.
Oh, Warren's on the line? He never said anything. You couldn't hear him.
Yeah, you couldn't hear him.
Warren, can we hear you? Warren.
Yeah, Warren's here. You hear me yet?
I hear you now. Thank you. Josie.
Here.
Brenda? Brenda? Kaylee, did you log on?
Okay. Thank you. So, in the Anchorage office, Annie?
Sorry, yes, Mayor Osterbach. Myself, Annie, we've got Ernie, we have George Barker with BDO, Mary, Charlotte, and Laura.
Okay. Thank you. King Cole.
Hi, there's myself, Glenora, Roxanne, and Jackie, and then Warren.
Okay, thank you. And in Sandpoint, we have Tina, Carol, Paul, Denise, and Emma. So, and we do have a quorum, so we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Move to adopt, Warren.
Mayor Osterbach, Daly. And Kobe here at the city office, Daily Check, and Clarence Gould is here also with me.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, second by Carol. Any corrections, additions, or changes to the agenda?
There's the superintendent agenda items. Are they going to be
later on? Yeah. So we will. So if there's no objections, resolution 2207 and 2210 will be removed from the consent agenda and moved after resolution 2209 on the resolution section. I think that was the only changes, right, that we talked about during workshop. Okay. So with that, if there's no objections, the agenda will stand as modified. So at this time, we'll have a presentation by BDO. Annie, you want to start this off?
Yeah, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So with me is, with us here in the Anchorage office is George Barker. He's with BDO, and he has a presentation. You guys should all have that in your packet, and they are numbers. So if you need to reference numbers, I think there's numbers. So I'll pass that off to George. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank the Assembly and Mayor Osterbeck for having me here today to present. I'm going to go ahead and start on, I believe it's numbered page 3 of the audit planning document, which is what's in your packet. And so this just, to begin with, professional standards require us to communicate in the course of our audit regarding significant matters in the financial statement audit, professional judgment that we use throughout the course of it, and any significant items related to your responsibilities as the Assembly for overseeing the financial statement reporting process. The document, as we go through, will kind of have some explanation of the scope and timing of our audit, which we'll discuss as we reach those items. We are, I think, on our fourth year as the borough's auditor at this point, and we are happy to continue in this service to the borough. So moving on to the next page, and this is page 5, I believe, and this outlines our responsibilities as your auditor. So our responsibility is to form and express opinion, an opinion about whether your financial statements are fairly stated in all material respects. This includes the schedule of federal awards and schedule of state financial assistance, which are audited through the state and federal single audits. These are prepared by management with your oversight, so those are the items that we are auditing. This doesn't relieve the Assembly of their responsibility and management of their responsibility to oversee the financial reporting process. We're merely here to offer an opinion and provide reasonable assurance. The details of this are outlined in the engagement letter, which is that included in the packet as well?
No, they approved that last meeting.
Okay, yeah. So those details are in the engagement letter, which has been approved at this point. And then moving on to the next page, this page outlines our audit strategy. We begin by assessing the risk of material misstatement of the financial statements, whether that's due to fraud or error, and design our audit procedures in order to address the risks that we've identified. We'll be in the course of this, we'll be reviewing management's policies and procedures for financial statement accounting and the implementation of those policies and procedures to determine whether we consider them to be appropriate or reasonable. Included in this are any significant accounting estimates or significant judgment that management has in place. In the course of our audit, we'll also be gaining an understanding of the borough's system of internal controls. This is in aid of us designing our audit procedures to appropriately address the borough's financial statements. We don't offer an opinion on the internal controls for the entity. It's purely an aid of us designing appropriate procedures. In addition to this, as mentioned before, we'll be doing a federal and state single audit. I believe we have both this year, and which is pretty typical. And this will also involve evaluating internal controls specifically as they apply to direct and material compliance requirements for state and federal awards. Once again, this is only an aid of designing audit procedures that are appropriate for those compliance requirements. We're not offering an opinion on internal controls over compliance. We do, however, opine on compliance itself with those direct and material compliance requirements. In addition, there's a few other bullet points here on the side. Some of this I've covered already. We, throughout the course of our audit, we're assessing materiality thresholds based on qualitative and quantitative factors affecting the borough, whatever is going to be, you know, relevant to the users of the financial statements. We'll be assessing information about the computer environment in which these systems operate. This is becoming more of a focus in audits going forward, the IT environment in which the financial statements are prepared. So I think this year we're going to have some additional procedures potentially surrounding that. We'll also be evaluating recently issued guidance. I don't know that there's any this year, but there's a couple new GASB updates that we'll discuss toward the end of the presentation that are going to be applicable for the 2021 fiscal year. And any recent developments within the industry or regulatory environment, I think it's safe to say we'll be evaluating the COVID-19 impact this year, especially as it relates to the borough's use of the Coronavirus Relief Fund. That's going to be our federal major program this year, so we'll be definitely spending some time on that. We've already had some conversation with Annie about how that program was administered, and we will be continuing to do that throughout the course of the audit. We'll also be taking a look at prior year audit results, evaluating any findings from last year and their continued effect or if they've been remediated. These are all things that we'll be taking a look at. Moving on to the next page, our plan scope. Some of this I've kind of just talked about. Some of the specific risk areas that we always tend to focus on, in addition to any unique risks that we identify from one year's audit to the next. Some of the ones that we tend to focus on each year are the risks management override, revenue recognition, fraud risk, and any other matters significant transactions. Then the overview and nature of the audit and group financial statements. So these two paragraphs here just relate to the fact that we are auditing the borough as a whole, and that includes any component units. In this case, the relevant component unit is the Lucians East Borough School District, which we also audit. These two paragraphs are just describing our evaluation and consideration of the borough as a group with the borough and school district. And our audit, the last line is fairly self-explanatory, but our audit is for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021. Moving on to the next page, once again, I've kind of run over this already, but we'll be evaluating the borough's internal controls as a basis for designing procedures. We'll be performing tests over compliance with, be that with federal awards or state awards. We'll also be evaluating certain compliance with general laws and regulations. And then we'll be considering internal control specific to compliance as well in order to design appropriate procedures for that part of our audit. And the next page outlines our general timeline for audit completion. We're in August already, and we've begun some interim procedures. We're working with Annie and Roxanne and Sarah Espelin to start getting information as we need it. Our year-end field work is scheduled for October, and I believe a week in November at some point. And then, assuming all goes well, we should be able to issue our report in December. And then the next page is another aspect that we're required to communicate, and that is that we are independent. In our engagement letter, which you approved and which is dated March 30th, 2021, we communicated our responsibilities in accordance with professional standards and communicated that we are independent of the borough as required by those professional standards. And the next page is the client service team. This is going to look a little different this year. In the past, we've had Sam Thompson, who's a director for us, and he has been, in effect, the partner for the engagement. He has taken a national position in our firm, and so this year we will have Vicky Shrestha and Joy Mariner serving as the partners on the engagement. Some of you may know Vicky. I don't if you're affiliated with the borough or borough school district, because he's the partner for the engagement team on the borough school district. And then I'm staying on. I've been on the audit for the last 2 years, and Daisy as well, and so we'll continue to serve as part of the engagement team. Moving on to the appendix, we'll discuss briefly some new GASB standards. Most of these, so there are quite a few upcoming standards. However, many of them were deferred as a result of GASB number 95, which was issued due to the COVID-19 pandemic. GASB decided that due to the burden of dealing with that and trying to implement new standards, that would be kind of a little too much, and so they postponed several of the effective dates for upcoming standards. So there's a few of these in here that we've included that the effective dates haven't been set at all, and there are several that have been postponed by a year or more. The main one that I would like to highlight right now is GASB 87, the upcoming leasing standard, because while it's not applicable for this year's audit, it will be applicable for next year's audit. And so at this time, it's important for management to begin evaluating the necessary steps to implement that effectively and appropriately. Throughout that process, we're happy to provide guidance in any way we can and assist in interpreting that standard. But ultimately, that is the responsibility of management to implement that new standard. The standards on the next few pages, these are all standards that will take effect later on. There is the GASB 89 that is amended for reporting periods beginning after 12/15/2020. This is effective. I don't believe that it affects the borough at this point. And then the remaining standards will all take effect in later fiscal years. So, and I believe that brings me to the end of the presentation. There are a few pages here listing additional industry resources that we as a firm are happy to provide. There's a page about accounting, audit, and other compliance considerations for public sector entities related to COVID-19. We'll certainly be throughout the process of our single audit, especially as we're auditing the Coronavirus Relief Fund. We'll be in discussion with management about that for sure. So I believe that's the end of the presentation. So at this time, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Do we have any questions from the assembly? Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. On page 9, you have the overall timeline,
mm-hmm.
and where it points to field work, and you did say you're working with the borough staff, but because I assume that's in King Cove, I would guess that Roxanne's got the final say on how to squeeze you in, because it's a difficult time of year. I know it's in the fall, usually this year, of course, with the COVID restrictions, it's kind of getting easier. But I didn't know if Roxanne, if she has any thoughts, because she's going to be the one doing the work. I don't know if she wants to say anything or not about the timeline. I guess she's reviewed it and happy with it. It's kind of vague. You just have some checkbooks on the months. But I'm not sure if October, November, or field work or interim field work goes August. Anyway, it would be nice to have firm dates that she's happy with, I would guess. So thank you.
So I can address that really quick. We've actually been in conversation with Annie and Roxanne already to set down some specific weeks. I think right now we're looking at the first couple weeks of October specifically for field work, and then I believe we have another week for kind of wrapping up our field work in November. The reason it's kind of vague here with just the check boxes is because it does depend, it depends on a few things, primarily us being able to get the information we need to start the audit. I think right now we're pretty comfortable with those dates, and we've already been talking with Sarah and working on getting some things. I think one thing that I forgot to mention in the course of this presentation is historically we've assisted in the preparation of financial statements, and this year Sarah is going to be doing that instead. We'll probably be doing some final work on them, but she will be doing the primary preparation of the financial statements, and that should serve to, you know, in the course of doing that, she should be able to identify some things that in the past we've typically identified and had to make adjustments for, but with her preparing those, hopefully she'll be able to iron those out before we get those final financials. But yes, at this point we've established those dates, and I believe it, at this point as well, we're planning on doing the audit remotely. There's still an option open for us to go to King Cove if necessary, depending on the sort of test work we're doing, if it becomes difficult to get everything we need. But I think at this point we're comfortable doing it remotely. We did it entirely remotely last year due to the COVID-19 restrictions, and I think we're comfortable doing it that way again, at least for the moment.
Okay, thank you. Roxanne, you have anything you want to add?
No, I have nothing here, Alvin. Thank you.
Great. Okay, thanks. Other questions?
This is Brenda. I just wanted to let you know I'm here, but also to commend our financial department for the work that they do, because we always seem to come out at the top end of our audits, and the work that's done on a month-to-month basis is so awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Other comments? Okay. Thank you for your presentation and taking the time to answer questions and working with the staff. So with that, we're going to move on to, at this time, do we have any public comments on agenda items?
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, this is Clarence Gould in Cold Bay. If I may, I have a comment regarding certain properties here in Cold Bay. I request, or at least ask, the Assembly to remove certain ordinances from the table regarding this property. Those ordinances are 22-01 and 02. I have a special interest in this property. For those of you who don't know, I have a small general contractor's business, and I'm asking the Assembly to remove it from the table, further discuss, and transfer and or continue the sale of that property.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Clarence. Other comments?
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, this is Lori Pierce from the City of Cold Bay, Deputy City Clerk. Mayor Happ has requested that the two ordinances, 2201 and 2202, be tabled until he can have a meeting with you. And Mr. Krimmer.
Excuse me, are you at our meeting sites in Cold Bay, or where are you?
I work remotely from Talkeetna.
Okay, well, we've gotten rid of our COVID ordinances, so we're back on our time frames for our meetings are basically in person, so we don't have any remote call-in at this time available.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mr. Mayor asked me to call in. Thank you.
Yeah, and he probably didn't understand that we had changed back over, because we even had a couple of family members that didn't understand right away there. But Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
I don't work in Cold Bay all of the time. I work from Talkeetna. I don't live in Cold Bay.
Okay. That's good to know. But anyway, that's, so at this time, that's not allowed. So.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Any other comments? Sorry, I guess I was on mute. But anyway, so, if there's no other public comments on agenda items at this time, we're going to move on to conflicts of interest. So does anybody feel like they have a conflict of interest on any of the agenda items? Okay, I'll take that as a no. So we're going to go into recess at this time and call to order the planning board. And on the planning board agenda, we have Resolution 2201, the Aleutians Borough Planning Board approving Alaska State Land Survey 2017-46 in front of us.
Mayor, do we have to call roll again for the planning board?
No.
We don't. Okay, just checking. That's all. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, just...
So, yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, acting as the Platting Board, this is Ernie Weiss, Natural Resources Director. In your Platting Board packet, there's a memo, there's the Platting Board Resolution 2201, there's an approval form that would be used by the Assembly at your next meeting, assuming you pass the resolution. There's a screenshot from DNR website showing our... Yes, go ahead.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. We need to, I read the resolution, but we need a motion and a second to get it on the floor, and then we'll have you speak on it.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Denise, I'll second.
Okay, a second. So, okay, so now we can have the discussion on it. So, sorry, Ernie, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. So five documents. There's a screenshot from DNR website showing the AEB land selections in the Sandy River area, three contiguous ones, which is the survey we're talking about, and then one separate. And then there's the Alaska State Land Survey 2017-46. The resolution expresses your approval as the Platting Board for the land survey 2017-46 and sets final approval for by the Assembly at the next meeting. Your total municipal entitlement is 7,633 acres, which could possibly be debated, but as part of that, you selected about 2,400 acres along the Sandy River. In order to move to final conveyance and patent, your selections must be surveyed, and so in fiscal year 2017, the borough contracted with McClintock Land Associates for a survey of your selections in Port Moeller that year. And we just finally received patent on those lands in Port Moeller this year. The Sandy River selection survey work took place in 2018, and Bear River was the last project we took on, and that happened in 2019, and all these lands were surveyed because of the commercial potential. So we requested, and the Department of Natural Resources with the state issued survey instructions for ASLS 2017-46, the three sections, and then dash 47, which is the separate one section. And so the survey 2017-47 is not quite ready. They have not signed off on that, DNR. There's some meanders that have displaced islands, and so there's a little back and forth between McClintock and them. It's expected to be resolved soon, but we recommend that you pass Resolution 2201 and set final approval by the Assembly at the next regular meeting. There was a question asked at the workshop by Member Grunholt what the price of this survey project for Sandy River was. All in, except for some fees to DNR, was $142,162. This was the most expensive of the three projects because of the remoteness, and it's expansive, and it required some helicopter. That's all I have, unless there's questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie, for that information. Questions from the Assembly?
Paul? Just more of a technical one. If we ever sell this land in the future, are we obligated to recover some of those costs of surveying, or how would that work?
That's a good question. I think that would be the thing to do, but I don't know the correct answer to that.
I think it would be at the... Anyway, we could check into it a little bit to see if there's any precedent for any of that. Any other comments or questions on the resolution?
Warren got one question. The Bear River flats you were talking about, was that down around the mouth of the Bear River and the King Salmon River, or what are we talking about when you said Bear River?
If I said Bear River, I apologize. Bear Lake. It's right at the, I think, at the entrance of river to the lake, but it's Bear Lake Survey Project.
Okay, I remember seeing that, I think, parts of that survey there, but I know there's a new lodge down there, King Salmon River. I was wondering, how do those guys get that land down there?
Might be a question for Tina with the permitting. I don't know one.
Okay, thank you, Ari.
Okay, other questions? On the resolution? Hearing none, would you call the question?
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Josie? Josie? Daily? Yes? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have no further business with the Planning Board at this time, so we will adjourn out of the Planning Board and back into the regular meeting. Now we need a motion to approve the meeting agenda. This was written wrong, right? We need a motion to approve the minutes of July 8th.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of July 8th with the correction of the typo of February 11th. Thank you.
Okay. We have a second?
Second.
Any other comments or questions on the? If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as corrected. At this time, financial report, we do not have. Anything you want to say on the financials, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, it's back in assembly. So as you can see, the June financials are not in the packs at this time. However, at the workshop, I did mention the fish tax values that we do have. And in May and June, those values were about $993,000, which brings us to a total for 2021. Granted, this is not final yet, but it's about $4,015,000, which is about $665,000 more than our original estimate back in June of 2020 when the budget was put together. So that's good news. And the June financials are being finalized with the bank reconciliations and journal entry reviews, and those should be done soon and presented here in the near future.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Annie?
Paul? Just one quick one. I didn't catch all you said about why the financial report wasn't in this meeting. You mentioned some entries. But when will it be before us this month? When are we going to have it before us in a regular meeting?
Well, hopefully here at the next September meeting, it'll be finished. But we are wrapping up some of the bank reconciliations, which need to be finalized, and the journal entries. Because this is year-end, we need to make sure everything's accurate before we present it to you. Otherwise, we'll have to come back and make amendments. So we're working on that with Sarah Esplin, our contract accountant, and we'll hopefully have those to you here in the future.
Other questions? Okay, thank you. And you have your June investment report in the packet for your review. So item 10, our consent agenda now has one resolution, 2206, formally submitting a harbor facility grant application to the state of Alaska, DOT, slash PF, in the amount of $4,125,000 for the Sandpoint Harbor Float A project. We have a motion and a second to bring the consent agenda.
Make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion.
This is Brenda, second.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll turn back in assembly. As Mayor Osterbeck just stated, this is a resolution 2206 regarding submitting a harbor facility grant to the state for the Sandpoint Harbor Float Project. We have recently submitted with Moffitt and Nickel a federal port infrastructure development program grant for the Sandpoint and Actan Harbor Floats. We also submitted just recently a RAISE grant, which is another federal grant for the Actan Harbor Project. That's the harbor that qualified or met the qualifications of the grant application. And now we're looking at completing a State of Alaska Municipal Harbor Grant application for Sandpoint Harbor. We submitted one last year. We did score well, but there was not enough money designated in the budget, state budget, to fund all the projects. So we will be resubmitting that. It does require a 50-50 match, and the 50% match is $4,125,000. The deadline for the grant is August 16th, which is, I believe, Monday or Tuesday of next week. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie? Denise? Yes. Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Our next agenda item is item 11, which are two ordinances that have been tabled, and they would need a motion and a second to bring them off the table.
Mr. Mayor?
Oh, yeah, one at a time.
Mr. Mayor, parliamentary inquiry,
okay.
If I may. So in order for these ordinances to pass, it would be two motions, one to remove it from the table, and then one when it's on the table, then we would vote whether or not to accept it, I believe.
And the motion on the table is a motion to accept the ordinance and set for public hearing at the next regular meeting. And so that's the motion you'll be taking off the table and voting on. That's the
Would it require two votes, in your opinion, or one?
No. If you say right now, if we took if we took the first ordinance, 2201, if you voted it off the table, then it would be before us.
Yes.
Then it would be for discussion by the assembly.
Yes.
But no public comment, because the public comment, if you passed it, it would show up on the next regular scheduled meeting as public hearing. But this is the only thing this does is to accept and set for public hearing introduction ordinance 2201. So yes, to
and so the question I have really is if we fail to take it off the table for now, does it automatically show up at the next meeting or just dies?
Yes. So it goes away if it doesn't come off.
I'm not sure why we're tabling it, what we're doing with it. I mean, why isn't it just a resolution that passes like everything else?
Well, it's an ordinance because it takes, two readings. So in the last meeting, we had some discussion on it, and then Paul made a motion to table it. Motions to table are undisputed. Got a second, so it's voted on the table.
It's the Alaska Airlines one, right?
No. These are the ones for one that's authorizing assignment of lease. So one of the first one is to dispose of the property, and the second one is to authorizing the sale of certain property owned by Aleutians East Borough. So Annie, maybe you could explain the two better than I can.
So essentially. Oh, Tina, go ahead. Was it echoing?
Sure.
Sorry. So, Mayor Osterreich and Assembly, what needs to occur in order to discuss this item is that somebody needs to make a motion to take this item off the table. Then we can discuss it, and then at that point, a motion could be made to schedule it for a public hearing at the September 9th meeting. But it needs to happen twice, one for each ordinance, and then you guys can discuss it, and then a motion can be made, if you so choose, to schedule it for a public hearing.
Is that the way you see it? We've got to make sure we get it right.
A motion if it's going to come off the table, is the motion to take it from the table, a roll call to take it from the table, and then a discussion, and then a roll call on that same motion or amendment or whatever.
That would be two votes.
One.
So I have one more parliamentary inquiry just to make sure we're all...
Yeah, we want to make sure we get
where
it.
Where if this motion goes to the floor to remove it from... the table, is that motion debatable, the one to remove it from the table? Can you debate that first motion?
I don't think so. No. I think you just like you, when you laid it on the table, there was no discussion. So I think it's the same when you move it off the table. And then if you move it off the table, then you can have the discussion. Okay. So does everybody understand where we're going with this now? Carol? Go ahead.
I'm not even sure why we're taking this. Why are we taking this off?
It was tabled last month.
Yeah.
So how come it's back on here then?
Well, no, it doesn't go. It got tabled. I am specific to this meeting.
To this meeting. Postponed.
Postponed.
Okay.
But
so now we're going to postpone it again?
No. Well, I mean, if it comes off the table at this point and you vote on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you vote on it in the affirmative and it goes forward, then it'll show up on September's meeting as a public hearing. then you would be able to discuss it with the public as to the merits or whatever you want to do. But right now, it's only discussed amongst the assembly, because public comment isn't until the next, until the second ordinance reading. This would be just like the first reading of the ordinance. You just postponed it for a month. Is where you're at. It's just how we get it off the table to make sure we do it properly. Put it back the way it was last month is what we're doing.
But if we don't do it.
If you don't, if nobody votes to bring it off the table, then they die. And they don't appear back the next. About.
Can we take a couple minute break and I can review it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would help me.
Okay, everybody take five.
No, we don't have that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about previous month's
no.
motion?
No, the motion today.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have to have a motion to remove it from the table and a second and a vote. And then we can discuss it. And then we'll have another vote. We don't need another motion. Okay? So, do we have a motion to bring Ordinance 2201 off the table? Hearing none. Motion dies. So,
Mr. Mayor, just point of clarification in order just to.
Okay.
So it would be my understanding if that motion did not get moved to the floor, in the future at any time, an alternate motion similar in nature could be brought before the assembly and discussed as appropriate.
I believe so.
Yeah, okay, just clarifying that.
Because, well, if
it was an exact same motion.
If these fail, at some time in the future, if somebody wanted to revisit this, it could be reintroduced to the agenda at a later date. Because I think anything can be introduced to the agenda. Okay. So, right now, the way it stands, Ordinance 2201 failed to come off the table. So, before us, we need a motion to remove Ordinance 2202 for the sale off the table.
Before Mayor and Assembly, this is Daly. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Before you go to the next one.
Go ahead.
So if the first one fails, I mean the second one, is that going to make any difference? That's just my question. And then also, so then what happens then? Does the building go back out for bid and people have to go through the whole process again? That's my question.
Well, that's basically wind up being up to the assembly, I believe. But as far as, and Annie, you can correct me along the route here if I'm wrong, but, you know, we've put this out to bid now, I think, three or four times, you know, to the city, to tribes, to whatever, to individuals. I think we've kind of exhausted it administratively how to dispose of it. So I think it'll be up to the assembly if they want to bring it back, because I don't know of any other avenues the administration has to get rid of this, but this was something that the assembly had asked for, and this is why we pursued this, was to get rid of this piece of property, you know, because we don't own the property and that type of thing, but to remove the building is the only other option that we have now, I think, now that we've basically been told not to sell it. So it's something probably we'll have to talk about internally for a while after this. And the other part of your question basically is, why are we bringing Ordinance 2202 before us? Because I just don't think we can reject one and leave the other one there. one doesn't work without the other one, but I think now it's more of a procedure than anything else. So, does that answer your question?
Where's Mudd?
Good. Okay, so now, I already asked for a motion and a second, correct? And I didn't get one. So, Ordinance 2202 dies for lack of a motion and second to bring off the table. So now, we are on to resolution. So we have moved, remember we moved Resolution 2207 and 22010 down, took them off the consent agenda, and they'll be on the bottom of the resolution agenda at this time. So, Annie, you want to do 2208?
Yes, Mayor, after back in assembly, before I use Resolution 2208, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the borough and PGS Professional Growth Systems for strategic planning services in an amount not to exceed $52,000. In 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, the borough hired Professional Growth Systems to provide strategic planning services for the borough. The objectives included community engagement, borough strategic planning, and follow-up and support. Over the past 4 years, the borough conducted planning work sessions that helped identify projects and initiatives that were included in the borough's annual strategic plan dating back to 2018. The borough would like to continue this planning process for the March 1, 2022 through February 28, 2023 planning cycle, and is interested in re-enlisting PGS services for an amount not to exceed $52,000. This would deliver a vision navigation process to develop strategic plan, engage the community through public meetings, and provide clear project planning for execution. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. And while you were doing the explanation, I was properly scolded for not asking for a motion and a second for Resolution 2208, which I'll ask for now. Bring it on the table.
Denise, I'll make a motion.
Carol, I'll second it.
Okay. We have it on the table before us. Any questions for Annie on the motion? Paul.
Annie, if this resolution passes and we're still in kind of a lockdown mode and don't have an in-person meeting in December, how does that affect the scope of work that PGS would be hired for under this contract?
PGS has been pretty good about not charging us if he doesn't provide the services, so I would envision we just revise the scope of work at that point. And doing it virtually actually is quite a bit of work on his part as well, so we'd have to discuss.
Other questions? Question on the motion?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Carol. I did.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2209. We did a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Motion by Denise, seconded by Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll direct an assembly. Before you use Resolution 2209, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with F&W Construction Company, Inc. to complete the Cold Bay Terminal expansion project in an amount not to exceed $1 million. and appropriating $200,000 in Borough Alaska Municipal League investment pool funds to the project. Borough administration has been directed to expand the terminal facility to accommodate additional space for social distancing due to COVID-19. Dowell has been contracted to perform a feasibility study, a 10% conceptual design, 35% design, 65% design, and to help select the contractor through the solicitation and selection process. F&W has been hired through that process and has not submitted their cost estimate for the entire project yet. However, administration anticipates the cost to construct the facility to be approximately $1 million. In order to expedite the project, administration is requesting the mayor receive authorization to negotiate and execute a contract with F&W to complete the terminal expansion in an amount not to exceed $1 million. F&W has been meeting with Dowell, ECI, and the borough to discuss the project on a weekly basis, and they've been in contact with suppliers and identified that some of the items need to be ordered and shipped early to conduct the work. Therefore, they're requesting a limited notice to proceed in an amount not to exceed $80,000 for the purpose of mobilization of equipment to the site on the ferry and procurement of the structural insulated panels, manhole, pipe, and castings. Now, please keep in mind, we're trying to get this done by December 31st, 2021, so we need to get a lead on these items now. The borough does have approximately $854,000 in CARES Act funds to pay for a portion of this, but the rest will need to be appropriated from the borough's general fund. Project management and engineering services are not included in the anticipated construction costs. Therefore, administration is requesting the assembly to appropriate $200,000 in Alaska Municipal League pool, which is the AMLIP, to complete the project. Any funds that are not used would be appropriated back to the AMLIP portfolio. If there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay, questions for Annie?
This is Brenda. Ms. Typo Lady, can you correct pipe instead of pip on the first page on the last, whereas manhole, pip, and casting?
Yes, thank you, Alvin. Annie, is there an update on completion of this project, estimated date of completion?
They still think they can do it by December 31st if we can get these things ordered early.
December 31st of 2021, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I believe we've got since we're using so much COVID money, I think we're coming up against that deadline, and if we don't do it, it's getting expensive for the borough. Any other?
Yeah, Warren here. Got a question. Annie, on the with the upgrade on the building, I know there was some structural improvements that were supposed to be done for earthquakes. Was that work ever done, or would that be included on this, or where does that stand on that? Like the beefing up of the sides of the columns on that building a few years ago. Was that ever done?
No, that has not been completed, and that's not part of this project.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments? Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Yes. Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Elsie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Bailey? Bailey? Yes. Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 2207. Thanking Alaska Airlines for providing temporary service. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
This is Josie. So moved.
Thank you,
Brenda. Brenda, second.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Resolution 2207 is thanking Alaska Airlines for providing temporary airline service to the Aleutians East Borough. As you all know, due to COVID-19, Raven did go bankrupt, and Alaska Airlines came in and started providing airline service from Anchorage to Cold Bay. Their last day is on the 14th, so this Saturday, and we would like to thank them for their service. And also in here it does say, and looks forward to seeing the company resume flights in the region in the near or in the future. So this is just a resolution thanking them for the services that they provided.
Thank you. Question on the resolution?
Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's good that we did have Alaska Airlines. I think most people wish they would hang around, and I think it's important to be on the record with it, that's all. Perhaps I'll see it, you know, with that stop on ADAC. It kind of made sense anyway, going to ADAC to stop in Cold Bay 2 days a week. And I think most people are hoping that, you know, we're in flux with the airlines. The airline we have now, they're having some startup issues, but it's quite a ways past their startup. Got a new airline coming, providing competition this fall. But I'm kind of hoping Alaska Airlines will recognize, as you've stated, that they are welcome out here, and maybe they'll give people in the borough another option getting out of here sometimes. So thank you. Okay. Other comments? And during the workshop, we talked about this some, so I and Annie had talked about putting this resolution together, thanking Alaska Airlines, and basically everyone in the area appreciates the amount of time, effort, and everything went in by everyone, and getting to the point where we brought Alaska Airlines into Cold Bay provided very much needed service throughout the time that they were here. You know, not only helped the borough, I think also a lot of folks in the Alaska area were coming through on that jet also. But I think just to let them know that we really appreciate them stepping up and filling in this void when it was really needed. I think this is more just to show appreciation for them taking the time to do this and help the area out. That's kind of where I am with it. Anyway, if there's no other comments, question on a motion.
Carol.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Dulce.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Yes. Daly?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And we have one more resolution before us, Resolution 22-10. We need a motion and a second to bring this on the floor. Motion by Paul.
Second. This is Josie.
Second by Josie. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution would urge the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to postpone any action on the Bering Sea Aleutian Island Pacific Cod Trawl Catcher Vessel Cooperative Program until such time as there are in-person meetings. This is a rationalization program that the council has been working on. Since February of 2020, there has been no in-person meetings, and so the both initial reviews in December of 2020 and this past June were made in virtual settings. Both Charlotte and I have been attending all of these meetings, but it's been difficult for fishermen to, with no in-person setting. In October, the council is scheduled for their first in-person meeting in a long time. However, their committees, the advisory panel, and the SSC will not be meeting in person, and so this asks them to put it off, give us some time to look at it. There are there's some hesitancy among some of our fishermen if we've done enough to get what we want. We've been advocating for strict sideboards or limits on participants in this program to not exceed their fishing history in the Western Gulf, and also as much onshore processing as possible. So I hope that you can support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Any comments or questions for Ernie? Paul?
I just had, Ernie, if for some reason, first of all, I'd just like to mention that I think our fishermen and community members need to be out there and help protect our interests. The sideboard protections that are being offered now, and it's not clear what will pass in the final motion, I don't think are adequate enough. So a chance for people to be out there and comment and interact with the council members and the AP and SSC, I think, would be great. So if, for instance, you can pull off a little magic and you think a one-meeting postponement might be the most feasible approach, like to December, because I'm pretty sure fishermen in particular will have December open, and maybe COVID will be gone by then. But what do you think of a time, Ernie, for asking when you're talking to the council members if this passes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Member Grunholt, that's hard to predict. December is the best time, and, you know, that's when most of the fishermen do show up if they go to a council meeting. I would say that in June, the council did pick some preliminary preferred alternative. So they're moving forward on it, and they're making their choices now. But I bet you have got a good shot at getting a delayed one meeting.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question?
Denise? Yes. Warren?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next item that we have would be reports and updates. And before we start, I just noticed on the web today that Raven and Alaska have merged as far as using Alaska Airlines miles. So I believe you can go to the Raven site, and there should be a Alaska Airlines thing to click on there to be able to use your Alaska Airlines file. So I think that's to protect today. With that, Annie, you want to start the reports?
Yes, Mayor Osbrack. In the packet is my report. The first section is regarding the CARES Act funds. Just there's an overview there of what's been expended to date. Not much to report unless you have any questions. The Cold Bay Terminal update, we have met with Alaska Airlines on the July 22nd and the 29th to discuss with Alaska Airlines and TSA on their closure procedures. So they will be shipping most of their stuff out on the 14th on the last plane, and then they'll have some other items sit there for about a week to go out on different transport methods. The expansion projects there, you've been updated on that. We did today receive, or I guess yesterday, received FAA's approval to do the work, and now we're just waiting on some building permits and a fire marshal permit to do it, and then with the resolution you passed today, we'll go ahead and enter into contract with F&W to start doing the work on the building. Cold Bay School, that now, I guess we have to go back to the drawing board on that, so more to come later. Grant submissions, we have the July 29th. The PID grant was submitted. July 12th, the RAISE grant was submitted. And today, after this meeting, I will put in the mail, once I get the resolution, the Harbor Facility grant application. So we have three applications in there, and hopefully one of them or more of them come back successful. King Cove Road, the oral argument was on August 4th. The federal DOI attorney and the state attorney did discuss it at that time in front of a three-judge panel. I'm not sure if a decision will be made anytime soon, but as I learn more, I will let you know. They're still working at the state level on the special use permit, and they did, they, as in the state, did perform some field work out in the region, and we're hoping to get authorization to go out there and continue to do the rest. Monday, August 16th, the King Cove, City of King Cove, the borough, and the tribes and the corporation will be meeting with Secretary or Interior Secretary Deb Halland to discuss the road, and then she is scheduled to go out to King Cove in September. So I'll pause. Is there any questions?
When you go back to the harbor, particularly the Acatan Harbor issue, the infrastructure bill that just passed the Senate had a provision for subsistence and small rural harbors. Does Acatan fit into that description, do you think?
I would assume it would. I mean, that's one reason why they had qualified for the RAISE grant. So I would assume they would. So as more information comes out, we'll look into that as an option as well.
Thank you.
All right, the Nelson Lagoon dock, this project is very close to completion. We did approve HECO to go out on site to finalize some additional work that was identified while they were out there in June and July. So they'll be out finishing up a repair to one of the sleeves, and then that project should be completed. The Acoon dock and breakwater, it's great news. That we finally, on July 19th, received the fully executed tribal partnership program agreement for the dock and breakwater. We did meet, Mayor Osterbach, Mary and I met with the Army Corps on July 29th for our kickoff meeting, and we're going to plan a charrette, which is a meeting that will be scheduled in the fall, hopefully in Acatan, so they can meet with the people in Acatan and also see the site. So that project is moving forward, which is great. Then they got the power cost equalization lawsuit. The borough did decide to participate in this litigation along with quite a few other municipalities and also power companies, I guess you'd say. So Holmes, Weddle, and Barcott did represent us. They did their oral argument on August 5th. And then basically yesterday, the attorneys notified us that the Superior Court ruled in our favor and that the PC endowment is not subject to the sweep. And then just a few moments ago, Laura brought it to my attention that the governor did announce today that he will not appeal the decision. So this is great news. This is great for all those communities that rely on PCE and all the residents in the region. So just wanted to let you know that. There's also a list here of all the items that have been completed for quarter two, quite a bit. There's still a lot more to go, for me at least, on the strategic plan, but there's an overview of what's been done so far. With that, if there's any questions.
Annie, can I interrupt
yeah.
you a minute?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the cost to the borough to join the lawsuit?
Lawsuit was $10,000. To join the effort. We might get some of that back because more people joined throughout the process. It'll cost us $10,000.
Okay, thank you. So go ahead.
That's all I have, unless there's any other questions.
If you're done with the report, Annie, just maybe it's appropriate. I know we have some staffing changes probably. I see some notices publicly posted. Do you have any updates that you could provide us on staffing changes?
I don't have anything at this time. You know, we have put out the assistant administrator position. The AES, who's the company I hired to assist me with that, is gotten a few applications, I was told, but they're vetting those, and as I learn more, I'll let you guys know.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Mary.
All right. Thanks, Mayor Osterwack and Assembly. I have a short report included in the packet. So, yeah, I'm down to about my last month with the borough, so I'm wrapping up all of my current projects and pretty much getting them in a spot to either complete or to pass off to the new hire. So just really quick update on the clinic project where there's really no substantial update. I just wanted to keep you aware that discussions, again, are still ongoing. Wanted to make you aware that one idea that has been floated around is somehow using the existing clinic, which I may have mentioned before, but Eastern Aleutian Tribes recently had a contractor in Cold Bay. They did an assessment of the current clinic facility to see all what would need to be done to that facility to get it to a spot that would be a little bit safer for people to use. But we haven't received anything in writing on this possible solution, so it's just something that's been floated around. So again, work on this is still ongoing, and of course we'll keep you updated as more things continue with that. Moving on to the employee handbook, I just had a quick blurb in my report on this. I had originally planned to have this presented to the Assembly this month, but we're still kind of working on the presentation, so it will be one of my last projects to complete before my last day, and the plan now is to have that in front of you in September, so we're on track to do that. Other than that, I've been, you know, assisting Andy with many of the projects that she has mentioned before, so I won't go into those. Again, it's down in my last month, so if there's any information the Assembly needs from me, please let me know before then. And really, that concludes my report, unless there are questions. Thanks.
Questions for Mary?
Are we having a going away party for Mary?
A virtual
one.
As long as you plan it.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Laura?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and members of the Assembly. I'm currently working with our scoring committee, which is several members of our staff, for the selection of the website design. We had 9 designers that submitted proposals in response to our RFP that we issued. So I, as well as others on the committee, are reading the proposals, and we'll be scoring them on several different criteria, including firm qualifications and experience, firm resources, project understanding, and project methodology. After that process, we will meet with the committee next week to consider the fee proposals as well. And following that, we will bring the committee's selected website designer in front of the Assembly for your consideration. The Mayor, Annie, and Mary have also reviewed several drafts of the fiscal year 21 annual report that I'm currently finishing up. I'm putting in sort of the finishing last-minute edits and last-minute touches on it, which will include photo captions, and I'm also waiting for some information from the June financials to include. And at that point, we'll have one last review and send it off to the printer. Something else that I was working on, I believe it was last week, I provided some in-person testimony at the Anchorage Legislative Information Office regarding the state's budget fiscal plan. This was provided to the House Comprehensive Fiscal Plan Working Group. Basically, the testimony presented on behalf of the borough discussed supporting the need for a balanced approach between the PFD and support for state services. It also stated that it's clear the 50-50 split proposed by the governor and others is not affordable without huge and unacceptable service cuts and cost shifting to local governments. I stated that the borough is asking the legislature to fully fund school bond debt reimbursement, community assistance, the PCE, and school construction or major maintenance. Other projects, the most recent In the Loop was sent out on July 29th, which included three stories. One of them was a recap on the 8.2 magnitude earthquake that struck the day before, and it included interviews with several community officials and residents about going to higher ground, that all worked out really well, and thankfully damage was minimal, I think mostly things falling off of shelves, that sort of thing. Another story was about a cleanup project that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is working on Tagalda Island, which is about 33 miles away from Akutan. And the Corps is removing petroleum-contaminated soil from the southeast end of the island. This location was a formerly used defense site associated with the former aircraft warning service station radar facility, and that became operational in 1944. It provided some early warning support for the military defense of the Aleutian Islands during World War II. There were about 14 buildings there at the time, so for this project, a mini excavator was flown in by helicopter, and they will do excavations at about three former building locations that have soil contamination that are above the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation cleanup standards. This will be the sixth visit to the island by the Corps. Anticipated completion of this project is August 16th, and that should be able to, they'll be able to close out that particular project. We also had a story in the newsletter about the first ever Pink Walk in Sandpoint to help raise awareness about breast cancer and honor a member of the community who passed away about a year ago. The donations went to the local cancer fund and the Baptist Church, and there was a very good turnout in Sandpoint, so it was nice to see. So those are some of the highlights that I'm working on. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions for Laura? Okay. Moving on. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My short report is also in the packet. Oh, we just had a little light flicker here. All's well. But I wanted to, just a couple updates. At the last meeting, there was a question about some of the disaster relief programs. Some of that information did go out to the Assembly. I'll just update from the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission, their website, psmfc.org. For the Alaska Fisheries CARES Act, the application is closed, but they anticipate that relief funds will begin to be dispersed in late September, early October, and they're also in charge of the Gulf of Alaska Pacific Cod disaster. They say the commission has submitted the grant application. They're waiting for the approved grant from NOAA, and then the application will start after that. Right now, applications are not available, so there's that. The raffle, I wanted to thank processors for helping out with prizes for the raffle that would support the our donation to the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, sending a couple fishermen to that. Wanted to thank QTT Tribe for their help in using their gaming permit, and especially thanks to Glenora, who has made some tickets, and some of those tickets are out, $10 tickets for seafood out in the communities, and we'll get some more information out on that. In fish news, if there are some young fishermen out there, we'll be taking applications by October 15th for a trip to Anchorage to attend the summit in December. So more on that to come. My report, talk about salmon, and we are gearing up for possibly a contentious year in front of the Board of Fish, even though it's not our year. But ACR agenda change requests are due August 23rd. And so we will see what comes of it. Charlotte and I are definitely gearing up for whatever becomes us there. We talked a little bit about the North Pacific Council, and we will get that resolution out, if not tomorrow, next week. And then I noted that we signed on to an Alaska Fishing Communities letter of support, and there's a link to that for the proposed Magnuson-Stevens Act, the fisheries proposed legislation, and If anybody's interested in Alaska fishing communities, they're actually having a meeting tomorrow, I think at 10 o'clock, and I can get that link to you. They'd be glad to have you. I know the mayor's been to a couple of those meetings. They talk about a lot of interesting things. We don't agree with everybody in that group, but the things we agree on, we try to work on them with. I've got some information to go on the strategic plan, but I'll get that to you next time. Any questions, please let me know.
Questions for Ernie? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Charlotte?
All right. Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So I will start my report talking about the EM program. I met with NIMS and the project team to discuss some possible issues for our upcoming bee season for pollock in the Western Gulf. I'm basically just trying to address some of the concerns that are brought to me by the fishermen and trying to build a program that's going to work for them and our processors, once we move forward in 2024. So one of those issues was split offloads between tenders. So I'm working on some data review protocols that can accommodate this, but it's an ongoing process. I am awaiting a grant amendment approval with NIFWIF so that I can submit the final reimbursement request for FY21, and then I will get that to Roxanne as soon as possible. I've also been asked to write a human interest piece on the Western Gulf data modernization for the EM for Fish, sort of an online magazine, and kind of one of the authorities on EM in the fisheries world, which I've asked Laura to help me with because this is her expertise. So we'll be working on that, and hopefully that will be made available to all of you when it comes out. Moving on to the data portal project, so everything is tracking along as expected with our milestones. I am working on the Q2 report for net gains, which I have not finished, but I will have it finished by the next meeting, and I'll make that available. I've also been asked to speak at a panel on data modernization at the Pacific Marine Expo, and so I'm talking with Ernie about how we want to do that, but I may be able to just present virtually if we won't be attending this year. But just so you guys know, there are a lot of eyes on the Western Gulf right now because we're doing some pretty interesting, innovative stuff, and I think the borough is really the ones to thank for that and for all of you guys for supporting these projects. They're really changing the way that fisheries are being managed and how data is being collected in favor of fishermen. So I think that's positive. As for mariculture, I am working on possibly a second research cruise to collect baseline data. And then also because we now have the farm permit approved, it would also be a trip to collect the brood stock so we can do our first year of growing. That would sort of conclude the original NIFWIF project, and that would commence the Alaska Sea Grant funding that we haven't really been able to spend because of COVID. So I'm going to be working closely with administration and with the cities just to make sure we do this safely if it does happen and be very cognizant of what's happening with COVID out in the region. I am sort of starting to work on the Alaska Sea Grant project with my partner, Melissa Good, who is a Sea Grant agent. We are working to possibly get some seeded line going at one of the nurseries in Kodiak. And we have also identified a local in Sandpoint who is very interested in working the farm over the winter and learning the process, but that will go through Alaska Sea Grant, his contract, so they'll be handling all of that. Moving on to the cod tagging project, so this is very exciting, and I'm sorry this image is not better, but as of July 2021, we received locations for 16 of the satellite-tagged cod and 5 of the conventionally tagged cod. That is an underestimate because tags are often received by observers in the plants all across plants in Alaska, and so it takes a while for us to get those as observers are sending them in. But it's very exciting. So some of the tagged fish remained in the release area, so around the Shumagins in June, but others have moved more than 1,000 kilometers up to Bristol Bay, to the northern Bering Sea, and to Russia. I have actually had a tagged cod disappear into Russian waters, and the way that the tag is signaling, I'm pretty sure it was captured by one of the fleets. So we're actually working on some of our international relations to try and get some of those tags back from Russia. So anyways, I think this is a very big deal. It's what the fishermen have always suspected. And we see now clearly that fish between the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea regions are connected through seasonal migration. And I've been having ongoing conversations with the stock assessment author for cod to really think about how this changes the entire fishery and management moving forward. It'll be a slow process, so don't expect any big changes in management right away. But it's a very big deal, and it's going to completely reshape the way we look at cod in Alaska. Other than that, like Ernie said, we are gearing up for a Board of Fish. So we're digging into the WASIP stuff. We're digging into the history and regulations, and hopefully we'll have a report out for you soon. So with any, take any questions if you have them. Thanks.
Okay, questions for Charlotte?
Paul? Charlotte, under your cod tagging project, I have my super-duper binoculars on, and I can't tell which tags are which satellites, which are satellite and which aren't. Is there a way to get a higher resolution picture and which one are satellite tags and which one are the five other tags? And you made a conclusion just above the picture. It said regions are connected. I don't know. I would have said maybe connected. It would be not that many. It's not a big sample yet, but maybe there's more coming in. But I'd like to see, you know, just out of personal curiosity, where exactly they are. Just kind of, I think everybody really was probably going to be curious as to where they went. So you had a better picture. Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much for your question. And yes, absolutely, we can make a higher resolution image available. I actually just before my report asked Ernie and Laura for their help in posting the update, and I'll make sure that a clearer copy of the map is available. So it's a little hard to tell from here, but if you're looking at the map, these are all satellite tags except for the squares. So the squares are the conventional tags, but everything else is a satellite tag, and the color and shape just denotes which tag popped up where and when. So you can see they're different months. And yes, I appreciate your comment about making that connection. I think at this point it just indicates that there is some seasonal migration that we see between the two, especially because our project is not the only tagging study that's being done. This is in cooperation with an Aleutian Islands and a Bering Sea tagging study where they're also seeing very similar results to what we're seeing. It's just that finally we have a chance to really look at our spawning aggregations that we know occur around the Shumagin Islands and in our region. So, yeah, but more to come on that.
Thank you. Other questions for Charlotte? And Charlotte, just so you know, for the packet, the clerk also reduced it so it would fit in the packet. Okay. Thank you, Charlotte. Amo.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I've been busy out False Pass and in King Cove for last month. I got two out of the three circulation pumps taken care of and tuned up the boilers out there and just been doing some work. Found some other problems out there, which I got to go back for to fix and be done hopefully out there and be ready for school here by the end of the month. So False Pass is coming along. And looks like the weather might cooperate. Still trying to get some more paint on that office building there in King Cove. It was a chore last time that I was over there. Seemed like it rained every day. But we might be getting a little bit better weather here in the end of August when I get back over there and hopefully finish that up and try to seal up, get up on that roof and try to slow down the bug problem over there a little bit that building has with all the bugs. So just staying busy. I'm working on getting all the capital improvement project information into the state because that deadline's coming up here September 1. So get that in and taken care of so we can hopefully score a little bit higher on the list of that and get our grant funding for our grant that we got going out there for the state. Then I got out to the Accutan on the ferry and got some more completions on my strategic plan bubble. So I've got all my list taken care of now, and I was just going to put dollar figures to what needs to be done in different things that the borough owns and to keep up on all the maintenance so that we could get better logs and records of what we have and what's being done on everything that the borough owns. So be going over to Cole Bay to do lighting and stuff and here in September, hopefully be there when part of the construction starts and breaks ground so I could be a part of that and get to see and bring in, you know, hands on or eyes on there to be able to watch that come forward. And then just been going to be heading back out to False Pass, like I said, next week, and then I'll be over in King Cove the week after that and catch that ferry to come back here to Sandpoint. So hope to get some better weather so maybe I can spread some more paint on that office over there. I got done with those lights on the inside as well, so they're new LED lights. And so I've just been busy, and now that the weather's nice, we probably get going a little bit more on outside duties instead of inside. Thank you.
Thank you, Emil. Questions for Emil?
Just one quick one. Hey, Emil, when you're in False Pass, could you take pictures of the two canneries unloading, see if there's any, how it's going, just so we can visualize that? I don't see us going to False Pass for a while, but I think people would be curious to see how it's working out this year.
Okay.
You know, pictures, one picture is worth a couple more words.
Right.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Okay, if there's no other questions, thank you for all the reports. We are down to assembly comments. Okay. Public comments. Do we have any public out there with comments? Hearing none. Okay, so the next scheduled meeting is the 9th of September, which is the second Thursday.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, everybody.